Welcome to the Fit Movement Podcast, a podcast all about pursuing his intended target. Welcome to episode 30 of the Fit Movement Podcast. As always, I am your host, Noah, along with my good friend, Emmanuel. E-Man, how are things going for you, sir? What's going on in your world?
Everything's good. Coming off a spiritual high because we had like a worship night last night that it ended up being smaller than we anticipated because we do like these dinner parties for the young adults at Church on the Move, and it ended up being really small, so we're like, oh, we'll see how it goes. And then there was just like a lot of, I don't know, freedom in being able to speak what God's placed on your heart and amongst people who think like you and believe similarly. Not to say that that's the only people you should be around, but it was just like people were talking about like how they found freedom in certain areas, how they've kind of found their voice. Because I brought something up about not leaving your voice buried like inside of you, like just being bold and like speaking up whenever you feel like God has a word for you and things of that nature. So I don't know, I just feel pretty good like coming off of that night, and it makes you want to get back into moments like that. But other than that, everything else is going pretty well. I'm just hanging out and, you know, doing life. But what about you?
Yeah, I don't know if I can give a better answer than that. Things are going good. I'm now in the transitional stage, so my job is officially over at the Meyer Center here in Springfield, but I haven't quite moved, haven't quite started things in Oklahoma City, Edmond area. So it's kind of a unique time. My brother's been home for spring break, so by the time this comes out, I've gotten to spend that last week with him doing spring break, but then I'll have another week or two of just really prepping, planning, and getting ready for the next season, which is cool. I get to spend a little more time with the family, but also time just getting locked in on what all God has for me in the next season of life. So other than that, it's the NCAA tournament, which is always a good time for the most part. We've got some upsets that I don't always love, but at this point in time, so we're recording this before Duke plays in their Sweet 16 game, Duke's still alive. So for the most part, I'm happy. If might not happen, we'll see if they can survive Texas Tech on Thursday. But other than that, life's pretty good.
Yeah, we've already made it to the Sweet 16. I know that's more scheduling than anything, but we beat Baylor, you know, defending champs.
Yeah, so that's big.
You know, that might be too much confidence for them. It's kind of scary at this point because it's like there's not many teams that you should technically that should technically be better than Baylor. But I don't know. I'm feeling good about our chances at least making the Final Four.
But yeah, we'll guys, UNC, and I will give them credit, they have a good dynamic of players that are almost built for this. You know, people that have played, or like they're older, a little more mature, rebounding, which seems to become a big deal, obviously, at this time of the year. And they're having people hit shots, which I don't love right to see, but it happens.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty. And I think a big thing is experience. Like, you can't have the one and dones and win a title, it almost seems like, because there's no anticipation of what your teammates are going to do and where they're going to be. And, you know, like when you've had people that have experience, somebody has an off night, well, you have another guy that's like there to step up and play a big role right that night. So,
yeah. The other thing I had talked about was I got to see the Batman. I know you talked about it in our last episode. So, finally. Yeah, I have made up for it because I went to see it twice because my brother hadn't seen it, so I went and saw it again with him. But I've been getting some, I was listening to another podcast that reviews movies, and they were not as hyped about it, and I was kind of bummed to hear their reviews of it. Now, they had things to say, like they liked it overall, and I think they really were just having rants to talk about, which is usually always like negative things to say, like sports radio does. And so I think they were just trying to nitpick a little bit. But yeah, for the most part, I think some people have said, eh, it's okay. And I was just like, what? I thought it was more than okay.
Well, I don't know who it is you're talking about, but they're movie critics. Movie critics are just haters. Like,
yeah,
they make their money off of saying, pointing out what was bad and what was negative, and identifying the once in a lifetime film. So,
yeah,
they can have their opinion, and that's fine. But Batman is objectively a good movie. Nobody can take away from it.
I agree. I won't try to compare them with the last trilogy or anything. I'll keep them separate. And when you do that, it just makes it better. I did that with Spider-Man's. I did that with other reboots, and it tends to work out well when you keep them in their own bubble.
Fair enough. Well, I think that's enough about us. Let's talk about the guy that we're about to have a conversation with.
Yeah. So Bradley Hetherington, both a friend of ours from college at OBU. I'm still waiting to hear if the Alumni Association is going to reach out to us and start sponsoring us for how many past Bison we've had. Still haven't gotten any word from them quite yet, but Bradley is a teacher, and it's not really a school, but it's a music school program, I guess you could say. It's the Koppel Conservatory in Koppel, Texas, right outside of Dallas, where he teaches private piano and music theory. So he gives lessons, but also teaches music theory there as well. He has had experience both, like he played piano growing up, got into it at an early age, but then he graduated from OBU with a degree in piano performance with an emphasis in pedagogy, and then he graduated from TCU, Texas Christian University, with a master's in music, specifically in piano pedagogy as well. So the man knows how to play the piano just a little bit.
For sure. He's we found out classical music is his thing, because I was thinking maybe he like wants to write worship music or something down the line, but that's not his niche. But yeah, we both, like he said, we both know Bradley from OBU. He's always been a good friend. Starting from my freshman year, he's just a nice guy. He cares about his friends, maybe a little too much, because sometimes I'm like, man, I need some space. No, but he's a great guy, and I appreciated the time he took to share with us like what he's doing. I'll give a little tidbit. There's like something that we have a mutual connection on in terms of the population that we want to serve. So you get to hear a little bit about that in the upcoming episode. And you can just tell he, like I just said, like he cares. Like it's very evident in the way he speaks, in the things that he does, and the way he interacts with other people. I don't know if Noah's had that same experience, but that's kind of been my experience with our friendship.
Yeah, I would say the same. Our story is, I can't remember exactly the first place we met. I want to say the same person who put us together, or like our mutual friend John. I think I met Bradley through John as well, or at least just hanging out in that circle with you guys. And so it was really interesting, because I know for sure that Bradley and I had very different ideas of like our personalities at first. So like I would tell Bradley like, oh, you were the guy who was into music, and your personality kind of reflected a person that was into music, and I was the person who was into sports, and I reflected the sports jock type of personality. So why in the world would we ever become friends? How did that ever happen? But God had bigger plans, and look at us now, close friends, and still keep in contact to this day. So he's been a great friend and somebody I very much care a lot about. So let's get to this conversation, though. I think they want to hear more from him than us. So without further ado, here's episode 30 with Bradley Hetherington.
Oh, Hello, everyone. We're back with a great, brand new episode of the Fit Movement Podcast. I'm here with Noah Nelson and our special guest, Bradley Hetherington. Bradley, what's going on, bro?
Not much. Just on my spring break. And so kind of enjoying seeing people and taking a break from my job. So it's nice that I'm not in school. I'm still teaching for school, and so I still have a break. So I've just been chilling this week. So it's been good.
Yeah, that's cool that you still get a spring break. But where were you traveling to?
I have both my brothers live in Kansas. And so I was up there celebrating my niece's first birthday and seeing my niece and my nephew and then my two brothers and my brother and his family. And then traveling through Oklahoma City, since a lot of our OBU friends are in Oklahoma City. And so I was there kind of just traveling around, just saying hi to everyone for a day or two. And then now I'm back in Texas to kind of chill a few days before I start back on Monday.
Yeah, that sounds like a actually relaxing break, not full of like chaos and stuff. But yeah. I know you from OBU, so does Noah. Tell us a little bit about what life looks like for you right now and where you're at, what you're doing, things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, so since I graduated last May, so 2021, from TCU, and so I started working in June, actually, at my job now. So I work at the Coppell Conservatory, which is just a music school where we teach private lessons, private music with like guitar, violin, voice, and piano. And then we also teach music theory classes. And so I've been doing that since, like I said, since June. And then living in Carrollton, which is a little bit north of there. So I just, since June, yeah, like I said, I have moved in with Luke Wendell, who is also, shout out to Luke, I guess, who's also an OBU person and then one of his friends. And so we're living together in Carrollton. I feel like just now, I guess I'm a few months later, 8-9 months later, I'm just now, I feel like I'm like settling into my job to where like I go to work. And it's like a normal, just like a normal thing. I feel like I've gotten over the newbie, like with people, with just how it all works, the school works. And so that's really nice. I like showed up to work Saturday, like one Saturday a few weeks ago. And I like texted my friend, my best friend. And I was like, you know, I think I've hit the point where I'm like, ah, man, this is just going to be the rest of my life. And so, which is kind of good. It feels good to like be in a sense of like normalcy, I guess, in life. And so I kind of have my church here. I have my friends, my community here. And so it's just kind of like I feel very content and like at a good place.
Yeah, man, that's great. What's your favorite part of your job so far, 9 months in or so? What's one aspect that you would say is your favorite?
That's a good question. I think that whenever I teach private piano, and so whenever my kids have either contests or festivals or recitals, and I see that they are like at the finished product with their piece or what they're playing, I think it's very rewarding as a teacher to see them kind of like all their hard work come together and like have them perform or do what they're doing and do well. And like just kind of see the end of that process. And it's kind of, it's constantly happening. So that we do a lot of festivals, a lot of contests. And so I feel like every few weeks, it's like I'm getting to see at least a few students every week, like come to completion of something. And so it's kind of like a fun process to be a part of that also like pushes me and pushes them as well to like constantly be driving towards something. And so I'd say like that moment of like, oh, you know, you're done, you're ready. And like their piece sounds good. They're ready. That's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah. Bradley, how did you know that you like were going to get into music? What was your start with music? How did it become from passion to what God had called you to do as a career?
Sure. So I grew up in a really athletic family, actually. And so growing up was sports and, you know, like from like 4 or 5 years old, like baseball, basketball, started like football when you could. And I remember we had a piano and my mom would like play a few things. And at some point I was like, oh, you know, I want to learn them. And so I learned them really quick, I think. And then we had someone in our church that gave piano lessons. My parents were like, well, what do you want to take? And I was like, sure. So I started when I was 8. And at the beginning, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, this is fun. It's kind of like my thing. Like, you know, my brothers were good at sports. Like my family, I wasn't like the best at sports. And so it was kind of like, oh, this is my thing that I can grasp onto and I enjoy it. And then I don't think it was somewhere around middle school. I had gotten into like choir and I think I auditioned for an all-state choir and like got in. And I think it was like at that actual, like, it's kind of like sports all-state actually, where you have like 2-3 days of practice and then you like do your performance, or like, you know, I guess in the sports you do your game. But I can remember like sitting in the room, our first like warm up, and I like heard the pianist and I heard everyone sing, and I was like, okay, this is something special. Like, I'm so excited about this. Like, this makes me happy. This makes me like, there's something to this. And so I think from there is when I was like, okay, no, like, I'm really into this. It wasn't actually until my second semester of college that I wanted to do, knew that I wanted to do piano specifically. Like, I wanted to be a choir director originally. And then after my first semester in college, I observed a public school classroom with choir kids, and I said, absolutely not. And I was like, there's no way that I could do this. Like, I cannot handle that many kids at once. Like, that's not what I need to do. Kind of talked with my professor. And then my second semester of at OBU, I just switched to piano performance, kind of like messed with like, okay, could I make a career out of this? Can I do, you know, what would this look like in the future? And it kind of just from there is when I was like, okay, no, for sure. And like I said, from a young age, I was like, yeah, music, once I figured out you can make a living with music, it's like, okay, no, I want to do this, because I enjoyed it and loved it and knew it would be something that I was like passionate about and would enjoy doing the rest of my life.
At Fit Movement, we believe that everybody has been given a special purpose by God to do something unique in the environment they're in. Within that journey, there can be many obstacles, obstacles that you may not have the answer for, obstacles that can derail you, distract you, and make you feel disqualified from all that He has for you. We want to help with that. Head over to fitmovement.com and you can see all that we're about, and hopefully we can help you along this journey of pursuing His intended target for your life.
I think a lot of people appreciate music, but yeah, like, that's kind of the stigma behind it when you choose a career, is like, what are you going to do with that degree?
Sure.
Which, I mean, until I met you, I didn't really understand that there was actually several different avenues other than becoming a big time artist. But why do you love music so much, and what makes you, or what makes you believe that music is so important and other people should be partakers of this product?
So for me, it was kind of like, I had an interest in like listening to people, being inspired by others. I think music is so important for everyone. I mean, I think like for most people, it's like, when's the last day you can remember that you didn't listen to music? You know, it's like, oh, you know, music is a big part of most people's life, whether, you know, any genre, anything. And so for me, it was a way of like, okay, I can not only listen, I can create. And it was a way for me to be like creative, me to express myself and give me something to like work towards, where it's like, okay, here's a product, here's what I want to strive for, and like, let's do it. And I did competitions, I did festivals, stuff like that. And so that was also kind of like incentive. But yeah, I think it was a big outlet for me to be like, okay, no, I can be creative and be a part of that process, and then create something hopefully beautiful for others to enjoy, for myself to enjoy. Because like I said, I think music is so important for everyone's life. It's like, I can see in myself like what it's done for me and the way it's helped me live a more joyful life, a life that's like worth, you know, something to strive towards. And so I hope that for, you know, my students, and I have adult students, I have young kids, it's like, I hope that this is a way that you can make life more enjoyable. You can, you know, this is, for most people, it's for fun, right? There's very few people that choose music as a career. And so for a lot of people, it's just like, I hope that you not only take away the beauty of music, but that it can do something for you while we're, you know, working hard and while you're learning and that whole process.
Yeah, I'm glad the rhetorical question was, when's the last time you didn't listen to music? Because I didn't have an answer for you. I think I listen to something every day. But I know that, obviously, you're Christian. You're on this podcast. Why do you think music is such an important part of the church in worship, but also when we're in less structured settings, like in the car or at home?
Sure. So something that's actually really cool is just something I learned in college is like some of the earliest known written down documentation of music was actually in the Bible. So like Psalms of David, like a harp, like, you know, percussion instruments. So like some of the earliest known music is from the Bible. And so I think that says something about as Christians, it's like, okay, we are meant to worship. We're meant to make, you know, God gave us voices. God gave us music to do something with. And I mean, now in our, of course, in every, you know, in our church services, it's you have worship. And I think that that's something that a lot of Christians hold dear to their heart is like, you know, at church, I can worship in my car, you know, I can worship wherever. And I think that there's also something to like memorizing. So like whenever you were in school, it's like, okay, you need to memorize these like 10, a list of 10 vocabulary words. And it's like, oh man, I would have such a hard time doing that. But like play Ice Ice Baby and I'm going to like read you every lyric, right? And so I think there's also a sense of that with music of like, it helps you retain things. It's just can be really good for you. And so of course it's important for Christians to worship. I mean, the Lord calls us to worship in the Bible. And so it's a big part of your life. And then as far as just like secular music, I think that, I mean, like as cheesy as it is, like there's like a saying of like music speaks whenever like you can't, like that when there are no words, like there's music. And so I think it attracts emotion, memories, just you can be attached to someone romantically as a friend. You know, it's a way for people to gather, relate to each other. And so I think it's important in a lot of aspects.
I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't know the answer, that's okay. We can always cut that out. But I'm curious, why do we attach memories to music? Why do we attach, why is it easy for us to recall things with music? What is it about the playing of music that helps us unlock a certain part of our brain that we otherwise wouldn't be able to use?
Sure. So we learn three different ways, like kinesthetically, aurally, or visually. And so with music, a lot of times you're attaching all three. So like one, if you play an instrument, you're doing something physically. You are a lot of times looking at something, like looking at the music, looking at words, and then aurally, you're like listening. And so I think that from what I gather from that and what I've heard is like, whenever you sing something, you're like aurally hearing it. You're attaching it to like singing, which is a kinesthetically, you're doing something. And so I think whenever you attach all of this, you retain it stronger. And because, like I said, some people are just very one way or the other of how you learn. And then music, you're very often doing all three. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I think I've heard like when you're studying for the ACT, you like should go to the same place, listen to the same type of background music. And so every time you're going in there, you're setting yourself up for that environment where you're, you know, like you said, you're hitting all three of those learning pathways almost. So mm-hmm. I can see that. I mean, I can see that making sense. So switching gears a little bit, Bradley, I know recently you had started this website, and it isn't work that you just started now. You've been doing it through your studying in school and master's program and all that. But recently you just came out with the Center for Special Needs in Piano Pedagogy. Talk a little bit about that, why you had a heart behind doing that, and then the reason for actually starting the website and making it public for anybody to go to.
Sure. So it all started in high school. I taught lessons my like junior, senior year of high school. And I was approached by someone with an autistic child that said, you know, would you be interested? He like doesn't speak. He, you know, nonverbal. He, you know, has ADD as well. And like, there were so many things that went with it. And I was like, you know, I don't think so. I'm sorry. You know, and at the time I didn't think much of it. It was just kind of like, you know, I'm not prepared for that, whatever. And then in college, at my church again, I was approached by two different families. And that time I was like, okay, you know, like, let me ask my professor what to do. Cause like, let me just see. And whenever I asked my professor, who was involved in academia and that world, I was like, you know, what resources can I read? What can I look at? How can I get prepared to do that? And he was like, you know, there's just not a lot out there. Like, there's not a lot of research out there for how to teach autistic or special needs kids. There's like a few people that, you know, have written a few things here and there, but like as a whole, there's just not much. And so again, there, I kind of tried. I didn't teach those two students again because I was like, I'm sorry, you know, not right now. And I kind of pushed it off till I left. And then it wasn't again until I had my master's program. I knew I had to do like a thesis presentation type thing at the end of my years there. And my first semester, we did like a big bibliography project where you find 100 sources. And I was like, you know what, I want to, you know, spend my whole first year basically researching what articles are out there, right? Because in undergrad, I was like, I was trying to find them. It was kind of like, there, you know, again, there wasn't a lot out there. And so in my master's program, I really tried to dive into it. And I found like maybe 15 articles. There were no books. There were a few presentations, like just what I found on the topic was very far and few in between. And they were all in these like scarce places, you know, all around, like in different, I don't know, just different websites, articles, publications. So whenever I was finished that, I did my presentation at OB or at, sorry, at TCU. And I was kind of dealing with my professor in our meetings. And I was like, you know, I wish there was a place where all of this was just in one area, because I just spent a whole year trying to find like 20, 25 articles to find what all of this is about. I was like, I wish there was one place. And she was like, oh yeah, I mean, like someday, you know, you could do something about it. And I was like, I wish there was like a website, something that like, even if it's just a student doing research in the field, could like come to this and make their lives a whole lot easier to find all of these things. And then beyond that, I was like, okay, so that you won in academia, that would be good. And two, I started to think like, what a disservice it was for me to like deny that kid piano lessons, because I thought like, you know, all the kids when I was in high school and in undergraduate of like, man, I didn't know how to do it. And now I don't know if they've ever gotten piano lessons. And so it started to make me really like want to strive to like make that, hopefully that doesn't ever happen again, you know? And so I wanted to create the website that way, like teachers, people everywhere. I mean, I don't know how far or big it'll ever get, but teachers that are in a town of like 5,000 could say like, oh, okay, there's a kid here that needs it. Here's these resources that I could like at least start, because in my mind, and I think in most people's mind, everyone deserves to learn. And for kids to be able to experience music, I mean, it's worth all the extra work and all of the things you need to do for that to happen for them. And so hopefully that website and like what I plan to do with it in the future can help with that. And hopefully there won't be any teachers like me that say no. Because like I said, kids and everyone deserve the chance to learn and get a quality education from it. I mean, quality music education from it.
Yeah. It definitely is a theme we get is, usually in our answer of what we should be doing, we will say no, but then God comes around and shows us a way to say, I think you are going to go down this road actually instead, and presents opportunities where we might have said no initially, then he makes a way for it to say yes on the back end of that. But a sure. Couple of follow-up questions from that, Brad, is how was your experience teaching those kids with special needs? Like, how was their experience? Did they get to see growth from it, or maybe it was just something that was just enjoyable to them? And how was your experience like as a piano teacher? Like, what was your growth like having to work with kids with disabilities?
Right. So I actually taught my first special needs student my second year at TCU. So just this past school year, actually. And then I came to my new school and that was just kind of a part of what my boss had, like what we talked about in my interview, what she kind of knew of me was like, oh, and you're, you know, under your graduate work, you did this research, that kind of thing. And so whenever I got to that school, I now have 13 special needs students. And so 7 of which are autistic. And then beyond that, ADHD, apraxia, ADHD. What else is there? Like verbal delays, cognitive delays. I have, you know, wide variety. And so since there, I guess to answer your question about like, have I seen their growth? I have. And it's really awesome because it's really cool to see those kids, like the joy on their face when they get something. Because it just, you can see how happy it makes them. And so, you know, I've worked with one kid for, since I've been there on like one piece. And maybe a few weeks ago, he like finally got it. And to see him like smile, you know, or to see them like struggle with something for like weeks, maybe even months, and to see them get it and to smile is like all the work in the world is so worth it to see it bring them joy. And so, yeah, like I said, progress is often very slow, but yeah, I have seen growth in them and it's really awesome.
Yeah. My follow-up, my second question is, and you hinted at it a little bit, but can you kind of let us in on what you think the future of the website's going to be or what your hopes are for it in the future?
Yeah, so I plan on writing a article kind of outlining my thesis and what I did at TCU and kind of highlighting the website. And then with the website, right now it's just has actual like hard copy articles, not necessarily all the presentations. So I hope to eventually move to like more of like more videos, more like interactive things to do. And so, and then of course always build it because new stuff is coming out all the time still. So I hope to continue to build it. But I mean, I would hope that eventually, like I know a few professors in a few areas have like a name for themselves. It's like, okay, send your students to them. So I mean, like long-term goals, it would be great to have like an actual center where it's like, I have myself and other teachers that are like, okay, if you're in the Dallas area or wherever I may be, it's like, this is a place that, you know, they've done research. They are like fully prepared to take on teaching your student, your kid, whatever their challenges, whatever their disabilities may look like they're ready and it can be a good quality education. And so that's like long-term goals. Who knows? For now, like I said, just start taking it like even just like day, week at a time of like, okay, how can I make it look better? How can I, you know, what articles, what stuff out there do I need to add to it? Let's like get videos together and just, but yeah, right now it's just kind of me, but I hope to eventually grow with other people that are like-minded.
I would just like to say the fact that you're taking a special interest in these kids that you're serving and working with them and providing opportunities for them, I commend you for it because I've got to work with kids with special needs as well through the work that I hope to start doing soon. And I understand that mm-hmm. it can be a challenge, but giving them opportunities to participate like their peers is just, it's challenging, but it's so rewarding. And two, I think a lot of people are going to be grateful for what you're doing. With this website specifically. So I just want to say thanks and keep doing what you're doing. Switching topics a little bit, music in general, we believe it's intended to worship God, right? But a lot of music is secular, and I'm not saying that secular music is bad, but how do you kind of balance those two worlds? Like, I'm not saying that you playing any music that isn't worship is a bad thing, but I'm wondering, how do you prevent yourself from being led down a different path with music?
Sure. So one thing that right off the bat helps is that I play the piano, and so there are no words. And so, and then I'm also involved, or like my interest is classical music, but even if it was like modern piano music, there's no words. So there's not a whole, like a lot of different like secular or, you know, of course the tune, right? Like you can hear a hymn and be like, okay, I know that as a hymn, or you could hear a rap song and you're like, oh, I know that that is not a good song. But as far as myself and what I play and what I like to do and what I teach my kids, there's not a whole lot of like separation. It is cool with when I do teach like a lot of early composers, the way that they were able to be composers is because they worked in the church. And so like a lot of like people like Bach, they wrote for the church, right? Everything you hear from Bach was played in a church. And so it's cool that you kind of get to like throw that into there to some of your kids of like, if you play Bach, you're playing something that like is worshipful actually, and was, you know, intended to be worshipful. And that goes into the, like the mid, like 1700s into the 1800s actually, of like the main people that were composing were also very religious people. Cause that's how they got paid. Actually, it was until like, the 1800s that like people started getting paid outside of that to just be making music for whatever. And so, and then like now, like I said, with popular music, I actually don't listen to a lot of popular music unless it's with my friends. And so, it's just kind of, that's not the thing that I really do a lot of or listen to a lot of myself. So.
No, that's great. And I didn't realize that composers, their intention was to play me. I knew that there'd been hymns, played by different composers, mm-hmm. and things of that nature, but I didn't realize that was the primary intention for a lot of them, is to get paid in church. But
yeah.
So then what do you do, I guess, like in your personal life to make sure that you're keeping Christ at the center of your life? And do you have any habits or rhythms that you do daily, monthly, weekly in order to get to that point?
Yeah. So, I mean, currently, I mean, like, I go to church. I play at my church. And so I think now, I mean, like, to be fully transparent, like, I've gone through seasons where, I think that following God's will was not completely the case. And so I think that while I can look at my life now and look back and say like, okay, God was really faithful through those times, through all of music has not always been just like my waking up, praising the Lord, going to bed, praising the Lord. And so like right now, I think in the past like 2-3 years, I'm coming out of a really dark area dealing with my faith. And so right now I think I'm keeping myself accountable by going to church. I of course listen to worship music, because I have to, you know, I play it on Sundays. But as far as that goes daily, I think it's always a struggle to be thankful, to think of the Lord. I mean, I read my Bible, but I think that's something that I struggle with now, is just being present and going day to day of like recognizing what the Lord's doing, what I need to be reminded of. And every so often there's that like slap in the face of like, okay, this is something big that God did right in front of you. Like, see it, recognize it, and like be better, you know? So yeah, I hope that answers.
For sure. It sounds like you're saying just being mindful of the Lord and what he's done for you on a daily basis, mm-hmm. is kind of how you stay on track. But if you don't mind me asking, what was it that kind of maybe became a distraction or nudged you a different way? And then what was it that kind of got you back on the path that you are on right now?
Sure. So in December of 2019, literally a random day, I like woke up to take finals. And then like a split second, I went from like happy, I was going home the next day, to like being the most like anxious, scared, fearing for my life, fearing for everything in a split second. And so all that, I started to deal really, really heavily with panic attacks and anxiety to the point that it was like crippling. I like couldn't get out of bed. And as dark as it may be, I just did not want to be alive anymore, quite frankly. For about a solid month there in December, January, and then it was several months after that of like climbing out of that hole, thankfully with like medication and seeing a psychologist and everything. But during that time, I definitely just completely was like, there's not a God that loves me. There's no way that God is real. Because I would not feel this way if God loved me, right? And so through that time of like crawling out of there, it was also the beginning of COVID, that March. And so like there was no church, no church, which at the time, like people were giving me advice of like, pray, you know, do these things. And I was like completely turned away. I didn't want to hear that prayer would work. I didn't want to hear that going to church would work. It was just not a thing. And so through like maybe July of that year, I was going back to school. And when I got back to school, there were people from my church. They're like, you know, are you back in person? Are you coming back to school? Like, when are you coming to church? I think the first like month I didn't go to church because I was like, no, you know, like there's no way. And so by no means do I think I walked away from the faith. I was still wrestling with a lot of things internally. But even through that year, I went back, and for months I would sit there in church. I would listen. I would try to sing, but I would end up just like weeping because I was like, I just don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I would listen to the sermon. I would walk out, like sit in my car and just cry because I was like, why do I still feel this way? Why am I like there's just, anyways, I think what I kept saying to myself is there's no way. At some point I know that my heart started to change in that semester of like, okay, you know, I'm seeing the end of the tunnel. I like was feeling a little bit better. I was like, okay, you know, there is a way out, whatever. And I can remember all along my, people would just say, like, people that are also struggling with anxiety would say, like, you know, someday it's going to be all worth it and you're going to understand why you went through it. Right. And they would say, like, God will show you why. And so at the end of that semester, one of my college students that I taught, like, came to me like crying and was like, hey, like, I am so fearful that I'm going to die right now and I don't understand. And in that moment, I was able to like comfort him and like, you know, hold him while he cried and be there for him and talk him through what he needed to do, help him. And I kind of went home that evening and I think I cried for like an hour because I was like, okay, like it makes sense. Right. So there was like a full year of me just like, you know, like why God, like there's no way to him to like come full circle for me to be there for someone else like a year later. And so I think that was like the turning point into like, okay, I kind of like the moment where you like someone slaps you in the face and you're like, okay, I see you, God, like I got it, you know? And so it was that moment where I think it turned around where I was like, okay, there was a reason for all of that. As dark and as horrible as it was, like, I think now I see God's hand in it to where I could help others that deal with that. And so I would say like into that next year and into now, it's like, it's still like a climbing up from that kind of thing, where I'm like still constantly like growing and trying to do better coming out of that, if that makes sense.
No, that's great. And I can see just from your timeline of your story of like, you know, if you didn't go through that season, then the growth you had personally wouldn't have put you in the position that you're in now, which now you're getting to work with kids and people with special needs, and getting to help them grow along their path. And I think you wouldn't be the same in such a capacity to help them, even though they didn't go exactly what you went through, but yeah. I think you're better for it in the long run. Kind of as we wrap up our conversation, Bradley, just going along with this topic, if somebody, let's say is going through a season of darkness, whether that is anxiety, whether that is just maybe not feeling like they have a purpose, or a specific calling on their life that God's placed on them, or they're wrestling with God, they're having questions. Maybe what's one or two things you would encourage them? What advice would you give them, where they're at right now?
Yeah. So I think that, like I said, through that time I was questioning, and I, like I said, I think I would try to pray. I would try to say, like, you know, like, God, help me, you know? And I think that, I've told people this advice actually very recently of, like, I hopefully can be a testament to people that, like, if you are going through that time struggling and you're asking God for a way out, or asking God, you know, praying and asking God for an answer, like he's going to give it to you. It may be the hardest year of your life. It may be the hardest day of your life. It may be the hardest hour. Like he's going to show you. And like now coming out of that, it's like, I have faith that it will happen for you. I know it'll happen. And so I like, for me, it's like, I hate that it was hard going through that, of course. But now like with others, it's like, I can tell them like, okay, no, if you're praying, it will happen. You know, like whatever is supposed to happen, whatever God has for you, like it will happen. And so I would say, look to others. I mean, I wouldn't be where I was if I didn't have people that, like I said, along the way that were like, you know, keep praying, like, you know, keep encouraging, like surround yourself by people that are going to, push you towards the Lord, of course. And then I think one of the best advice that I got, from someone that I said always also dealt with anxiety, she's like from the movie Frozen, Anna sings a song and she's like, just do the next right thing. And so that's kind of like a thing that I still kind of hold today of like, you know, do the next right thing, whether that may be like, just go to church today, you know, keep your head up and, you know, maybe think of something that's going to be like, you know, what has God done for me today or what has he done for me in the past? Like, you know, if you are a person of faith, like look back and say like, okay, you know, look at what God did for the Israelites. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's going to do that for you as well. So.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. And I think that's a great way to end our conversation. Brad, we want to thank you for your time and your story and your wisdom. And again, I want to reiterate what E-Man said, just your ability to coach and grow those kids. It takes a special person with special patience and special gifts. And so we want to commend you for sure on that. But before we let you go, we've got to get to arguably the most fun part of the episode, and that is this draft. So, E-Man, I'm going to let you take the reins of it. He'll explain our topic, and we'll get to it.
A seat at the table.
Yeah, so being that Bradley is a famous musician, we're going to draft his colleagues. So his topic is musical artists of the early 2000s. So if you are a musician of any kind, musical artist, there's some debate whether we can do groups or not. I think that'll be a game time decision. But you can draft them as long as, in your opinion, their peak was in the 2000 to 2010 range. So, anyway, okay. You get the first pick. You get one.
Okay.
I'll go. Noah will get two. Then we'll go back up. And you'll get two when it's your turn. So, whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and make your first selection.
Okay. So, my first pick is Beyonce. So, oh, yeah. Are you Maddie, man?
Of course.
You know. And so, is that the one you're... Anyway, so... I think that, so she came out of Destiny's Child, which Destiny's Child is like worldwide. Everyone knew who Destiny's Child was. And then I think she's the star. Obviously she's the star that came out of it in the mid like 2000s. Like they broke up like 2005, six or something like that. And then she like released a few singles hit that like, while she's still continuing to like climb, I think that that was the moment where I was like, oh shoot, like this is Beyonce. Like this is where she's coming from. This is how good she is. Like she was good in the group, but now she's good like solo, and everyone still loves her solo. So like, yeah, she performed in the Super Bowl a few years back, but like, I think the mid 2000s is when it was like, it's Queen Bee, you know?
For sure. That was not no my, doubt. I wasn't gonna draft Destiny's Child. I was gonna draft Beyonce, but that was a good pick. That's a good way to start. Okay. I can't be mad because you did the right thing and chose Beyonce. So. I'm going to have to match the intensity, and I'll get my personal ones later, I guess. I'm going to go with Kanye West because that time period was insane. And my draft board is kind of, well, at least the top of it, it's like top heavy, is was I as an elementary student singing your songs, not knowing what they meant. Okay, that means you were pretty popular because I was in a pretty sheltered home for the most part. So if I knew what you were doing, you must have been popular. So yeah, I'm going to go with Kanye for my first pick.
So as always, I'm going with probably heart heavy people who meant a lot to me. And I tried to bring different elements of the early 2000s of things that I liked. I don't think I was ever just one genre the whole time. I would probably went a lot of different ways. There was different phases depending on what my dad was listening to in the car is probably what I got, what was on my iPod or my MP3 player when I first got one. So I went a lot of different directions. I guess this will be the biggest name, or he'll be associated with the biggest band that I'm going to go. I'm going to pick Mike Shinoda, number one, and he is the co-founder of Linkin Park. Mm. He's more known for, he was a part of Fort Minor who did Remember the Name. So he was a guy who sang or rapped Remember the Name. But he was obviously an instrumental part of Linkin Park, which my dad listened to a ton, which then I adopted from him and listened to it a ton. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they had two or three albums in a row that, I mean, you could take five or six songs from and were instant go work out, go shoot hoops with, any of that kind of stuff. So Mike Shinoda, number one. Number two, again, I'll stay with kind of that rock theme. This was kind of my, I found these people in junior high and listened to this CD a ton. I remember having it, multiple CDs of theirs, but it was from POD. So I'm going to take their lead singer, who is Sonny Sandoval. So songs like Youth of the Nation, Boom, Alive, those were songs I was listening to get hyped up for a game or just to listen to on an afternoon day. I was that kind of, I wanted that heavy rock kind of stuff. So those will be my two.
Not bad. I know the groups. I knew Sonny Sandoval's name, but I didn't know Mike Shinoda. I hadn't heard his name before but I know their bands.
Yeah, me neither.
All right. So
yep.
Moving on, let's go
back to me.
No, I'm sorry. I probably said it wrong in the instructions, but it's actually me. But I only get one. You get two. So it is what it is.
Okay.
So with my second pick, I think I will just go. I'm going to go with the more famous one of this group because you know I just did it twice. So I'm going to pick Andre 3000, but my group that I was thinking was obviously Outkast. I don't know why. Sorry, Miss Jackson. I'm just like singing that as a 6-7-year-old kid. Cause I don't know. Maybe I thought it was polite to say Miss cause we were taught to call everybody by Miss whatever, Mr. So ever. So I thought it was probably a good song. It wasn't. Anyway, yeah, that's who I'm going to go with for my second.
So my second, I'm going with Justin Timberlake. It's because, I mean, NSYNC. Earlier you said, like, what you, like, remember on your iPad, or, oh, sorry, iPad, iPod, like, that kind of thing. Do you remember those little, like, hip clip things where you, like, plugged it in, and then it was, like, you played a little, and it only played one song? Did y'all have those?
Really?
Anyways, NSYNC was, like, the main thing, and it was, like, you go to school, like, you'd have, like, different things, but if you had NSYNC, you were so cool. And so, of course, Justin Timberlake came out of that, and then, like, around 2002 is, like, Cry Me a River, which, like, come on now, everyone knows that song. And then just like worldwide, he's just really well known. So, and again, coming out of a group in the 2000s ish.
And then like did you, I did never song. Had, I never had what you were talking about. Did you ever get Tooth Tunes, the toothbrush that played a song?
I remember that. Wow.
I
didn't,
but I wanted
one. We would get those in stockings.
That's a good gift.
Emmanuel, did I take your other person?
Yeah, but then your justification was kind of meh, because their peak was in the 90s. The NSYNC
was,
yeah, so
I only said I didn't ever say the group. I said I'm taking Justin Timberlake, yeah, but he came out of said, it in the 2000s.
Then you said all this stuff about NSYNC. I lost you for a second, so that's okay. It's your draft. Draft board. They had albums later, but
okay, you're right,
it's all good. It's your first draft, so
you're getting... It is, okay. Yeah. My next person is actually Avril Lavigne. So, and the reason she came to mind is because of like the recent like Olivia Rodrigo stuff, like her song that was like, oh, everyone just thinks of Avril Lavigne, and I was like immediate in love with her song. But like that was one of those, like, you sing her songs and you're like, you would sing it and you're like, oh, do I know what this is about? But like, so punk rock, like, so fun. And I think like most of her things came out around like 2000s and a little like into the 2010s, but mostly like the early 2000s. So were you going to take that, Noah, or what?
That's unreal, man. Bradley might be the most well stolen guest that we've had
for sure.
That's, I mean, that was like my, secret obsession song was, Girlfriend. No doubt.
Yeah.
Like nobody wanted to admit, no guy wanted to admit that that song was good, but it was a banger.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, that was.
To follow up on Avril Lavigne, is she someone's clone? Have you guys heard of that? That conspiracy theory where they said that the real Avril Lavigne actually died and then they replaced her with somebody else. You haven't heard that? That was like a huge deal. When I was in high school, everybody was like, that's not Avril Lavigne. Well,
wow.
You guys have something to look up later. I like that pick. That's a good pick. Okay. Staying on, well, I don't want to say it. Never mind. With blonde people, I'm going to go with Britney Spears as my third one. She's just so good at everything. She's very talented. She grew up singing in church. Also, hashtag free Britney. I think she just got out of her situation with her dad. But if you haven't seen that documentary, it's very interesting. I don't know what to believe, but that has nothing to do with her music career. I just think she's very talented. So, yeah, Britney Spears.
Her downfall was in the 2000s, though, so.
But also her peak.
Like 2003, 2004. So was she?
Look up her discovery, peak, or however you say it, on Spotify. All those albums were dropping in the 2000s.
Like 2001, yeah. 2, and 3. And then after 2004, it went downhill.
2003, In the Zone. 2007, Blackout. 2008, Circus. 2000, Oops, I Did It Again came out. I got receipts, Bradley. Don't try me.
Tell him that we have an immense research team that prepares these draft boards for us.
Right. And I will say, okay. Her first album was 99, and then everything came out after that. So
You're right. I was going to also, I thought about drafting her, actually, and then I was like, socially, she just went downhill. Mm. So like music-wise, I guess peak was great, but.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great pick, but it might make for an interesting dinner guest.
Unless you watch the documentary, that's the last thing I'll say. It might change your mind.
Right. Okay, so Bradley, you totally win for taking Avril Lavigne from me. That was the next one I was going to take. So I will replace her pick with another female, probably the female. Her music that I enjoyed the most in that era, and the biggest name that's probably going to be on my draft board, I'm going to go Rihanna. So she had some songs after 2010 that came out that were good, but I felt like her main stuff was in the late 2005 to 2010 era. So, probably have a lot of business things I'd want to ask her now.
Yeah, you could be a Savage Fenty guy.
Yeah. Not a supporter of that, but yeah. Man. Okay, I think I've got to do it. I've got to have some sort of Christian representation in my draft. I feel like if there isn't, it would be only wrong for me. Even though POD was a Christian band, they were one of the early people who didn't necessarily say they were a Christian band. They were just a band who were Christians, but this was definitely a Christian band. I'm going to go Toby Mac with my number four. His best music that I listened to and my brother listened to was in that late 2000s era, right before 2010 in my junior high years. So yeah, gotta have him, because we listened to his Portable Sounds album over and over and over again.
Oh, that was one you stole from me. I thought I was going to get that one fifth. So, good job with that. All right, for...
Can't let Bradley have all the fun here.
Yeah, I guess so. I like my table, though. There's some personalities, for sure, but we'll have Noah do security, and we'll be okay, because he's... Anyway, I think I'm going to go... Okay, so my dilemma is I was going to pick Black Eyed Peas before, but now I can't decide if I want... I think I'm going to go Fergie. I'm going to go with Fergie. That's all. But she had a lot of music with the Black Eyed Peas that, like Bradley was talking about, you remember everything. I need every word to like an album at one point, of the Black Eyed Peas, not of Fergie's, but yeah. And she seems like a
cool guy. While I agree that her songs are catchy, she's great, I don't want her actually singing at my table.
Expand on that.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. NBA All-Star Game.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The Super Bowl, whenever she actually sang live, is horrible. She's not a performer, and she's not a good singer.
Okay, that was not part of the criteria, though. Okay, because like...
Okay, anyway.
Kanye West can't sing, but he makes great music. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I just let you know I'm not going to have her sing, actually.
Well, she's at my table. No one's going to enjoy it. You don't have to listen.
I don't think E-Man's going to have her sing either.
No, we're just talking. Me, her,
yeah.
Brittany, Kanye, Andre. It'd be great.
They're just having a good time.
Do I get two right now, or just... Do I get two or one now?
You get the last two picks of your draft.
Okay. So I'm going with Alicia Keys. So I'm a big fan of her for a few reasons. She is a classically trained pianist, actually. She has a deal with Steinway & Sons. So she's like a Steinway & Sons artist where she only performs on Steinway pianos, which is a big deal. But her coming out, I mean, she did come out with like the classic, like Girl on Fire, is that right? In like 2013. But again, I think starting her career and her prime of when people were like, oh my gosh, Alicia Keys. And of course, people know her now, was in like the 2000s. So that is that. And then also, she is just actually incredibly talented. And then my last one, because I was, as much as I hated that you picked Britney Spears and dogged on her, I was actually going to say Britney Spears. I think that I'm going with, who else do I have on my list? I think I'm going to do Eminem probably. So I think he was kind of like later 90s. Into the 2000s, and I know in the 2000s he kind of took like a hiatus and was like missing, but I want to say like also growing up in the like 2000s, being like middle school, like everyone knew his stuff and was like, oh, Eminem, you know, everyone knew who Eminem was.
And that's so when his that while his music his best songs arguably came out
for sure.
Yeah and so I think like yeah, just like an iconic person. And of course, the Super Bowl kind of brought back like him and like all of his stuff. So I thought of that actually because of the Super Bowl this year. But yeah,
that's good.
That's my table.
That's a good fifth pick.
That's great value in the fifth pick.
So for my last pick, I'm going to go with Usher just because I need someone that can actually sing, because Bradley said that Fergie can't, and he's not wrong. So yeah, I'll have Usher do that. I was going to pick someone else and I'll leave him at the door because he had some music in the 2000s, but, and I think he's better than Usher. That's a unpopular opinion, but I'll let Noah go ahead and pick his last one.
So my last one, it's a little more unique. I think it should count, but if you guys want to not count it, I'm totally cool with that, but I do think it fits the mold. Now, I think this person has had a longevity of excellence, so like you may argue that their best stuff has been recently, but you can't deny some of the best stuff he's done was put out during this decade. But I want to go with Hans Zimmer as my fifth pick. And so like soundtracks that he composed and made during the early 2000s were Pirates of the Caribbean, The Dark Knight. Those would probably be his top two from those 10 years, but he's made more than 10 during that era. So I would like Hans Zimmer as my last pick.
I'm going to give it to you because Inception was 2010. So you got it. You got me with that one. That's a good pick.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, the thing that's hard is he came out with so much good stuff after that because Interstellar and Dune and things like that. But yeah.
Didn't he do the James Bond? Like I said,
he's had such a great career over a long span of time. Yeah, I'm not sure on that, but you could probably guess so. It probably isn't a good guess. Well, like he did Lion King, but that was in the 90s.
Yeah, Lion King, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's a crazy.
So, like you said that, right?
Yeah.
Crazy list. That's a good fifth pick. I wasn't even thinking of composers.
Yeah, my mind didn't go there either.
Hey, I always like to try to bring something out of the woodworks for my fifth pick.
I got to ask Bradley then. I wanted to ask during the episode, but I decided to wait. If you could add a composer to this list, like to your five of any of all time, who would it be?
That's so tough.
Only one.
Cause there's, I would say I would have to go with Brahms. So Johannes Brahms, German composer. He's just like a romantic, and he has so many like melodies that are just insanely beautiful.
Does he have a particularly famous?
It's not as popular.
Okay.
Yeah. I bet you'd have something you'd recognize. But yeah, I'm not gonna like sing it for you by any means or anything, or like trying to the tune or anything. But yeah.
Well. That's okay. I've been trying to get someone to sing on this show since like day one. So if it's not you, maybe it'll be the next one. Anyways, Bradley, I think you did a great job in your draft. This was a very competitive draft, in my opinion. And we also appreciate your time. That's also a good thing, I guess. But before you go, we have another question. If anybody wants to get connected to you, whether they want to be featured on your website or they're interested in teaching music or they're interested in a career in music, what would be the best way to reach you?
If you want to reach me, which is with questions about what I do or even like the website or what the goals are, on the website is pianopedagogyspecialneeds.com. It has a portion where you can contact either our Facebook page or you can email me, and it sends like there's like a portal where it just sends me your message or email so I could like answer questions or just see how, you know, you could help or just any information you wanted. So yeah.
Sounds good. Well, again, we appreciate your time. Thank you for being on, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me also. I felt really honored that you both asked me and wanted to hear what's going on in my life, so thank you for asking.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fit Movement Podcast. If you found value in this episode or any of our other previous episodes, we would ask that you please share with others. Also, if you could rate, review, and subscribe, that would help others find us as we hope to spread this message with as many people as possible. If you want to reach me or Emmanuel, Personally, please reach out to us at fitpodcast@gmail.com. That's PHIT podcast@gmail.com.